Knowing that there would be a Bible drill and knowing there's not enough time for a full sermon, I want to remind you of what you just saw and what the entire work of ministry is about. Would you turn with me to 2 Timothy and chapter 2? 2 Timothy and chapter 2. What you just saw lies at the heart of what we are to be about. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to read verses 1 and 2. As the Holy Spirit writes through the apostle to Timothy, he emphasizes he wants Timothy to be a good soldier. He wants him to fight a good fight of faith. And we are training soldiers in the army of the Lord. As I read verses 1 and 2, you follow along. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. As we look at these two verses, I want you to think with me about our purpose in teaching, our purpose in ministry. And as we open up in verse 1, if we look at that verse and think about what is our primary purpose, obviously the purpose in any teaching is to create change. But he tells Timothy from verse 1, I want you to be strong. And he said, I want you to be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. We ought to want to be strong as believers. But if we're strong as believers, we must be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. What does that really mean? It means that we learn something about what God's grace is. It is His unmerited favor toward us. And if we are strong in that grace, then we are made strong in our understanding of what God has done through His Son toward us. We are made aware of how we are to be made strong in that grace to apply what He is doing in our lives. And so there's a great emphasis here that I want you to get strong. I want you to be strong. Those who have played in the athletic fields realize that you don't start out the opening day of practice as the very same person you are when the season arrives. Nor are you the same person as when the season is ended. There's a sense in which you become stronger and you gain. You learn certain plays. You are absolutely growing. And there's four ways in which we change, because he goes on to tell Timothy, here's why I want you to be strong. I want you to think about the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. I want you to be able to take these things, and I want you to commit these to faithful people who will in turn, notice how he said that, who shall be able to teach others also. Tonight, Shelley Collins called out the verses, and her assistants who helped her week by week, there was a day they did not know what they just did. They were children also. And they were learning these verses. And some of us who witnessed what we did tonight think, I didn't do a very good job learning my verses. And we are still on that journey of seeking to increase in our understanding. So let me talk to you about four ways in which we change. These are vital ways that we ought to want to change according to the grace that's in Christ Jesus. We first of all want to change in knowledge. We want to gain some understanding we did not have. That is so very crucial. We add knowledge to the reservoir of understanding. I used to say to Papa Sam that your well is very deep. And he could just reach down in there and draw out things I think he had forgotten in the past. It was amazing to catch him somewhat off guard and say, talk to me about thus and so regarding the scriptures. It was amazing what would come up out of that well. We're constantly trying to add to the reservoir of our knowledge. Sometimes new knowledge invalidates some things that we thought we knew. We used to see a given subject of the Lord like this, and along the way, as we continued to read His Word and ponder what He has to say and listen to sermons and study our own Bible and prepare for Sunday school, there came to be an increased understanding about our own reservoir of knowledge, and along the way we learned things, and that took something we used to say about the things of God, and we don't say it that way right now because we learned what Paul said, a more excellent way. And so we're adding to the reservoir of our knowledge. We sometimes, in learning things, we kind of do away with, we discard redundant knowledge for new knowledge. It's not that what we thought we knew is incorrect, it is what we thought we knew is now incomplete because we have seen a more excellent way of a given subject of Scripture. And so we're seeking to gain in knowledge. But if all we're going to do is change in knowledge, then it seems to be that this is a mental exercise, that it's just academic. And folks, sometimes the work of God in the hearts of some, certainly not all, but in the hearts of some, seems to be merely an academic exercise, and it's void of heart. And you have wondered at times, if you have seen maybe a person or two that I've met along the way, they studied the Bible for what they could do to argue certain finer points. There's a person you wouldn't know if I called his name, and I got an email from him yesterday, and he's getting really up in years. And every time I think he's ever written me, it was to nitpick something. And if I were to read his email, you would say to me, "Pastor, I don't know who that is, but that's a nut." Because he tries to take something that's in the Scripture. In this particular time, he was arguing the point of what the Bible means when it says lost. And folks, if all you're going to do is just gain knowledge and it stops there, then you're going to be a miserable soul, because Christ didn't do what He did just to change our heads. So we want to change in knowledge, but what else do we want to change in as we think about growing in the grace that's in Christ Jesus? I would suggest to you that we want to grow and change in our skill. We learn new skills and we develop and improve existing ones, whether we teach or whether we preach or whether we sing or whether we share or whether we show how to care or whether we're just witnessing to somebody. We want to increase in our skill. We develop a little more what some people call finesse. We're not quite as rough around the edges. We learn more about how to minister to people if we go to the hospital, how not to be pushy, how to be available and close enough to help, but not too close to crowd, to truly impress upon those who could stand our help that we are available. We just don't want to be pushy to you. That's such a crucial thing. That takes a sense of skill. I can remember some preachers talking about that when they started their hospital visitation, they were prone to tell all their surgical experiences to the patient. Folks, if I'm in the hospital facing a surgery, I don't really need for you to come tell me how terrible yours was. I may need a pill for depression. What does that reveal? It reveals a great deal of lack of skill. And we're trying to learn how to do the Lord's work, be the greatest possible blessing we can be as we increase in knowledge and also increase in skill. Brother John and I have talked numerous times about things we studied relative to seminary about the art of teaching. And I go back occasionally and just read one of those books on the issue of teaching. And when you read those books about teaching, you see some of your own still flaws and weaknesses, and you want to do better. That's a valid thing for you to want to do better. And God help us never to get to the place that we think we cannot improve. We can improve until we have gotten to be as good as the master teacher, Jesus. Well, we not only want to increase in knowledge and increase in skill, but when we think about being strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, if we increase in knowledge and skill, we ought to want to change also in attitude. Sometimes It's the attitude. Someone has said that attitude determines altitude. Do you get to drift on that? Change in attitude leads to change in personality. Change is not only internal, but change can be external, and it becomes obvious to others. Have you ever heard it said, boy, he or she has an attitude, and there's something there that needs to change? And generally when they say we have an attitude, that's not necessarily a compliment. We won't have a kind attitude. We won't have a gracious attitude. Some people's attitude is such, you just want to help them do whatever they got to do. They're just so kind with that. They're just so open. Their spirits are open. They don't have this glass front up here where I want to help you, but don't get too close to me. I don't want that. They just have such a fine attitude. They seem to be so sincere in wanting to be helpful. And folks, that skill with that attitude becomes crucial. I have shared with you one of Adrian Rogers' statements when he said on one occasion when he was sick, he told some people, if you love me, forsake me. He was using humor there to say, I appreciate your offer, but now is not the time. One of the key things we need to remember is to be available, but don't go where you haven't been asked to go. If I could impress that upon any church family anywhere, not just this one, anywhere, I would say, be sweet, be kind, be knowledgeable, make yourself available, but don't start making suggestions unless somebody has said, what do you think about this? Now, when they say that, do it. Say it. Involve yourself. One of the beauties of working with Brother David and Brother John is that I give them the latitude to do what they need to do and not feel like that I'm breathing on their necks, and they know I'm available. They can ask me anything, and many times, if not more times than not, I will ask them things. And there's a cooperative, if you will please, working in tandem, working together, not working against each other. That's got a lot to do with attitude. I have nothing to prove. I don't have to outwork you trying to make a name for myself. I'll make a name for myself, all right. Boy, if you see him coming, close shop quick. You don't want that to be the case. Last thing I want to mention to you as we think about the things we've heard among many witnesses, we want to commit to faithful people who will be able to teach others. We want to change in our knowledge, want to change in our skill, we want to change in our attitude, but we also want to change, finally, in our behavior. You know, belief predicates behavior. If I become a pushy individual, I'm pushy because inside I've got something going on. You've heard me make this statement. A person is not a liar because they tell lies. A person is a liar because in their heart, their first liar, they tell lies because that's what they are in their heart. When people are kind and gracious and helpful and get close enough to be available but distant enough not to get in your way, that's because that's what they are in heart. When Brother Wayne says, I'm your pastor and I'm going to help you if I have to run over you, I'm not working for your good, nor am I working for God's glory. We want people to serve where God has gifted them, use the gift. We kind of talked about that some in Sunday school this morning. God has gifted each of us. And so tonight, we have sought to increase the knowledge in this Bible drill. We sought to help them with skill. You know, as we were helping them, the pastor thought, wouldn't hurt you to increase in knowledge. And the pastor thought, wouldn't hurt you to increase in skill. And then, of course, if we're going to change in attitude, wouldn't hurt me to change in attitude a little bit. Don't I have a little room for improvement? To use one of Bill Sturm's funny statements, now I know I'm filled with charisma, and y'all know that, but I could improve in that. Amen? We really could improve in that. If you don't think you could improve in attitude, privately talk to your spouse if you're willing to get the answer that they could honestly give you. I have not soon forgotten something that a preacher friend of mine telling me about another preacher friend of mine sitting with he and his wife at a restaurant, and as they discussed things, one of my preacher friends who sat with his wife looked at his wife in the presence of this pastor friend and said, "I'm not a complainer, am I?" I would never say in the dark to my wife what that woman said to her husband. You would be very mad at me if I used the word publicly that that pastor's wife used. It was awful. She said, "You don't do anything but blankety blank all the time." Now, it was awful for her to use that word, but what might be worse than that was that if that was a correct assessment, that means that there needs to be some change. And you see, folks, we would want the kids, for instance, to do good in Bible drill, wouldn't we? But the one thing that's more important than what they do in Bible drill is what they ultimately do when they are grown and in homes and are married and have their own families. Why is that crucial? Because in the next generation, whoever the Shelley Collins is, she won't be able to do enough in Bible drill if things aren't right at home. And whoever the pastor is can't preach enough for it to be advantageous if it's not right at home. So this all goes back to investing something in their individual hearts. Now, if I ask the obvious question, do you think these kids need this? The answer is. But do you reckon they need that any more than you and I need to continue to change in knowledge and skill and attitude and behavior? I submit to you that every one of us still need that. God help us not to ever think we've arrived. If we think we've arrived, you've arrived all right, but it ain't where you think you've arrived. And so tonight, the purpose of teaching is to change. And God's word, here's the beauty, is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword. And when the Bible says that it pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and then spirit and joints and marrow, think about that. Pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul. That's your personality. That's your will. That's your likes and your dislikes. That's your peculiar idiosyncrasies that make you who you are. Spirit, the word of God affects even the inner spirit. And joints and marrow, the word of God even has an effect upon the body. By the way, if you didn't notice in that text that I quoted, man is a trichotomy. He is body, soul, and spirit. And the word of God touches all three aspects. You say, well, how does the word of God touch your body? When the Word of God is at work smoothly in our systems, we are at peace. We are enjoying Jesus and each other and the body life. And when there's chaos underway, we're churning stomach acid. We're running up blood pressure. We're eating ulcers in the stomach. And we're having all types of biological issues because a person who we sometimes need to think needs to see a doctor might first need to see Dr. Jesus. I had a friend once who's passed away now. He went to his brother who was a physician, and his brother did a bunch of tests, and he said, you have an ulcer. He said, is it something I've been eating? And he looked at him and said, brother, if I were guessing, it's not what you've been eating, it's what's been eating you. Powerful word from a practicing physician, and God's word can work in each of our lives. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Tonight, nobody in this room is beyond the scope of what God might do in our lives right now. And it's one exciting journey if we'll give ourselves to it. And when we stumble, we're going to help each other up. because we need to go again, don't we? Doesn't matter how many times we fall, it's how many times we what? Get up. Let's pray. Father, we have such an opportunity as well as responsibility as the church that the things we've learned from your word among many witnesses, the same we want to commit to faithful people who will teach others also. And tonight, for those of us who hold the torch, whether in our homes or in the church or in Sunday school classroom or wherever, we're trying our best to do what you've called us to do, but we're aware while we're doing it that we're ultimately handing the torch off to the next group of people who will come behind us. For you all have us all on a journey. We're headed to that city whose builder and maker is God. Thank you that we are caught up in this brief moment called time to do an eternal work. And you gave us a living book, and you gave us your living spirit to give us aid and to teach us and lead us into the pathways of righteousness. Thank you for these children again tonight. Thank you for all who are giving themselves to the study of the word. Thank you for every worker that we have, and thank you for the opportunities you give us as a people. Continue to shower every provision we need to be the most effective at what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Question before we sing a hymn of invitation. Could it be tonight?